Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're actually recording this episode in advance today because during the normal playing of this program, there will be a dress rehearsal of the Celtic Throne music and dance production. We're really excited about those shows coming up here at the end of June and also into July. Thankfully, we have some people available to still help with pre-recording this show, though. Well, today's subject really made me grateful, and hopefully it does the same for you. I was just pretty much overwhelmed this morning thinking about how blessed we are. No matter where you are listening to this show from, whether it is the great nation of America or anywhere else, we are just so incredibly blessed in every way. Even if it's trials or hard times you're going through, there is a purpose for those too. And even if you don't have as many physical blessings as some people around you, what about just the fact that we're not created as animals? It's certainly a lot better to be a child of God, to literally have an opportunity to know God in your everyday life. That is something that is just incredibly uplifting. And it's something we need to think about. We need to have this attitude of gratitude in our daily lives, especially as really the world is just falling apart all around us. And one blessing we're going to talk about in particular today has to do with true religion and how true religion is practical. True religion should impact the way that you think, the way that you speak, the way that you behave, and it should even transform your desires from worldly into godly. True religion is practical, even though so many people might overlook that aspect of it. It's not just something that you do for 30 minutes on a Sunday before going back to your regular life. It's not a feel-good thing. It's something that really should be impacting every second of every day. I did hear a couple examples recently from a conversation with someone about how there are people out there who try to be servant leaders. They do try to apply certain principles in the Bible. For example, working hard, doing the right thing without receiving credit for it. But this person who was speaking to me told me that when he was interacting with someone at his job who tried to be a servant leader, the very moment that credit didn't go his way at his job, he got upset. So it is one thing to think about servant leadership or any of these subjects that are talked about in the Bible, but it's quite another thing to actually try to apply it. I also learned this from teaching a Bible class here on the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus to some of our 9th and 10th grade Imperial Academy students. There was one question that I put into one of their quizzes, and it basically said, when you keep God's Sabbath day, you will be, and then you just had to circle all of the options that applied. So you will be blessed by God, you will be protected by God. But one answer that almost all of the students overlooked was persecuted. It is also possible to be persecuted for doing the right thing. And I just thought, sometimes we need to apply these subjects to our lives personally. Picture what actually happens to us when we put God's law into practice. Again, it is not an ethereal subject. It's not something that we just think about or read about in the Bible, and then we go on living a completely different way. Now, maybe that example of the students is a good thing, that they are not getting persecuted right now for keeping the Sabbath, but it is certainly possible to. For example, if you were leaving your house and your whole family is dressed up in dresswear, in suits, in dresses, and you're leaving every Sabbath morning at 8 or 9 o'clock in your nicest clothes, and you're gone for the entire day, your neighbors are probably going to notice that. They might ask you questions. Probably they won't be too critical, but it could happen. It's always possible. That was the case in my public school experience too. So it is important to realize that we do have to put God's way of life into practice, and we also have to understand what comes from that. It is a real, practical way of life. And one thing that makes this way of life extremely practical to us is that God is real. That's something that we could always be thinking about. And this subject today, God is real, really did correct me quite a lot. If you really do think about God as being more real to you than all the human beings who are sitting right next to you, who, people you talk to every day, that really should make quite an impact on the way you do things. And in fact, the late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong wrote about this in The Plain Truth of May 1963. He said, "Why does God seem so far away? Until it seems he has faded in the distance. Why does he seem mysterious and unreal? Why do the objects with which you come in daily contact, your friends, your pleasures, seem more real when actually they are less so? You may see, you may say, because I can see, feel, and hear these things or people. But that is not really the reason at all. You don't see the air you breathe, but it seems very real to you. You cannot see or hear or feel the power of gravity, yet it seems very real to you. Perhaps you say, well, these things are real to me because they are close to me. But that is not the reason. God is as close as any of these. He too is real, and he is close. Yet he seems unreal and far away." So take those examples into consideration. Air, gravity. You feel those are real because of your real life practical interactions with those things. Try not breathing. Well, don't try it for very long, but you know what will happen if you really stop breathing. Try defying gravity. You can't. You can't possibly do that. You know through real life experience with those things how real they actually are. And I hear continuing this quote from Mr. Armstrong. "Now let me tell you the real reason God seems unreal and far away only to those who have not established and are not actively maintaining close personal contact. It is not a matter of distance or visibility. It is a matter of contact." That is how we can make God more real to us than anything or any person or any part of this entire world around us. Even all of the physical laws of nature. God should be more real to us than all of those things. And we do have an opportunity to make that a reality in our lives. There is access to God the Father made available to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's amazing because God actually expects us to pray. You can look at the prayer outline of Matthew 6. And when Christ was explaining this to his disciples, you can see here Matthew 6, verse 6, "But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." So quite a lot there in just that one verse. When you pray, God expects it to happen. He expects you to be more excited about praying to him than you are about talking to one of your friends for hours on the phone, maybe someone you have a lot in common with, someone it's so easy to talk to and lose track of time. And yet you should be more fired up when it comes to talking to God. That should be something that excites you, all of us. When you pray, it should be automatic. And also, Christ says here, it should be done in secret, and God sees it in secret. Is that not real? If God can see everything you're doing all the time? If we understand that God sees everything, wouldn't that actually impact how we live? Wouldn't that make our true religion practical in our lives? If we really did think about him as always being right there next to us, it really is something that will revolutionize your life if you do think about that. Because I was thinking about that today, and like I said, I was corrected by the fact that I don't think about it like that quite enough, and how I should think about it a whole lot more that way. Because it is motivating. It does give us a sense of urgency if we know that God's always there. Matthew 7 just shows God's willingness to do anything for us, shows what a great father he can be to us, especially if we will simply go to him. And just think about this physical, spiritual parallel in these verses. Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." And now here it comes to this analogy, this physical family analogy, Matthew 7, verse 9. "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" So again, that point comes right back to the forefront. How God is far more willing to do good things for us than any of us fathers are willing to do for our own children. That's what an excellent, caring, loving father he is. He is more willing to give to us. He is more real than our physical fathers are. It just gets reinforced pretty much any of these passages you read. But there are certain things we need to do. There are certain practical things we need to do to make this kind of a relationship a reality in our lives. John 16, verse 23 just shows Christ's job in this. John 16, verse 23, "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." And that's one of the keys to answered prayer. You can find this in a book we have available to you for free at thetrumpet.com. It's titled How to Pray. Really a life-changing book. And this second chapter has keys to answered prayer. One of them being praying in Christ's name. Wrapping up the prayer saying, "In Christ's name, amen," or "So let it be done." So this just shows us that Christ is the intermediary in our prayers. He has a job of being our high priest. Now, if we really do think about what Christ did to make this relationship with God possible, it will make God even more real to us. Christ died for the sins of all mankind. And then he was resurrected, he ascended, he was glorified. And today, to this very day, he is still doing so much for you, for me, for all of us. And he's waiting until the point where all mankind will finally take advantage of this opportunity to make contact with their Father through Christ. Hebrews 7, verses 24 through 25 say, "But this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Christ is living to be our high priest, to intermediate, to mediate between us and our Father. And just to see that he is doing everything he can every single day to make that connection possible really should make God more real to us. It should make us more grateful for this opportunity to pray every day, that one of the two eternal, everlasting God beings in existence is working this hard on your behalf every second of the day. So like I said, today we're talking about how God should be more real to us than anything or anyone else. Let's just think a minute about this verse, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So remember there from Matthew 6, and here's another instance of this. God sees everything. God knows what we're thinking. If your closest friend could follow you around every moment of the day and every one of your thoughts were broadcast on a neon billboard attached to your forehead, you'd probably be extremely embarrassed. You probably wouldn't want even your closest of friends to know every thought you've ever had. And yet when we think about Christ and that relationship and how he does know all of our thoughts, do we really want a complete stranger knowing all of our thoughts? We don't even want our close friends knowing all of our thoughts. So what about a stranger? What if we're never interacting with God and yet he still knows all of our thoughts? It is a bit awkward to think about, actually. But it shouldn't be something where we're just constantly uncomfortable all day. God is merciful. He's willing to forgive. If we repent, he will not hold our sins against us once we do repent. He is way more understanding than any human being could be. You know, if some of our, even our closest friends knew everything we've ever thought, said, or done, we might scar them for life. They might be completely alienated from us. And yet God has seen it all. He knows every last detail, and yet he's still there. He's still waiting to answer every prayer that we offer. But again, there are some qualifications. There are some standards that we have to meet if we want these prayers answered. If we truly want to bring every thought into captivity to Christ, which means before we start dwelling on thoughts that enter our minds, we see if they pass Christ's test. Are they up to the standard that they should be? But if we don't think God is real, we're never going to try to put that into practice. Prayer is something that really should impact us at all times. King David talked about praying in the evening before bed, then praying first thing when he woke up, then praying again in the middle of the day. That's a general habit we can try to develop. But particularly, we do want to try to get the bulk of our prayer done, usually first thing in the morning, but it might depend on your schedule too. It just comes down to putting God first. And that's a huge key to getting answered prayers, to actually getting results. If you just think about the world right now and how it really is a dangerous place, there are a lot of people in the United States right now praying for national unity. They want the riots to stop. They want the hatred to end. And maybe they are praying really hard about it. But is any of it stopping? Are those prayers getting results? You see, God doesn't just automatically answer, we do have to meet certain standards. We do have to do our part. And then he is automatic to do his part too. Here on page 20 of the How to Pray book, just really think about this. Ask yourself, is God really answering my prayers? Think about your requests to God and ask if he is fulfilling them. What if God isn't answering your prayers in order to get your attention? What if God isn't answering America's prayers in order to get all of our attention? And then the How to Pray book talks about Mr. Armstrong and how he drifted a little bit from God. He was still praying and studying every day, but God had become a little bit less real to him, a little bit less important to him, as he got excited about certain business ventures he could take. And look at the way Mr. Armstrong responded when he realized that he was doing something wrong and that he had to get back on track with God. Right here again, How to Pray book, page 20. Mr. Armstrong took radical action to rectify the problem. He fasted and prayed. He examined himself. He sought God's will. God showed him what he needed to do. Mr. Armstrong learned that he was too far from God, and he fixed his attitude. He drew close to God. He knew that was what he needed to do to be able to claim God's promises and to expect answers to his prayers, like the example of Elijah. You can find that in the book of Kings. Elijah the prophet prayed for about 20 seconds, and God answered that prayer. After the pagan priests were screaming, dancing around, praying to their false gods for hours, all day long, even cutting themselves to make themselves bleed to try to get their gods to answer. And after all that, Elijah prayed for about 20 seconds, and he got the answer. So you see the contrast there. Some prayers get results, others do not. And some prayers can even be heartfelt and still not get answers if we're not meeting the qualifications that we need to. Page 22 of the How to Pray book says, learn to pray like Mr. Armstrong did, and you will begin to enjoy the results he did. Expect that God will perform miracles for you. He will never fail you, just as he never failed Mr. Armstrong. Have the same prayer rock attitude he had. Learn how to pray to God and get real results. God is real. Our prayers can be real. And the results will definitely be real. You don't have to doubt that. You will see that very quickly. The moment that you pray to God like Mr. Armstrong did, like Elijah did, like any of these heroes of the Bible did. Again, I turn to King David as another example there, how he really learned how to repent. You can see specifically starting in Psalm 51, how he repented of everything he was. He repented of rebelling against God, of forgetting about God, of not thinking of God as real and always there with him. David somehow thought he could hide his sins from God. Yet God sees everything. God is real. And he's just there waiting to help us if we will just ask. Yes, he does know what we need, but he still wants us to ask. Just like any father knows what his children actually need, but it is so much more delightful to give to your children if they ask first, if they politely, respectfully, humbly, earnestly ask. So next week we will get into some of these keys of answered prayer found in the How to Pray book, but just try to think about how real God is and how he's always there, because that will really change the way you live, not just the way you pray, but the way that you put your prayers into practical action. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.